So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. See, friends, Ecclesiastes is a journey inside the human psyche. It is as if the writer was doing the artist's way, if you all know anything about that. And they sat down to do their pages every morning. And we, as the reader, are wrestling with their thoughts and ours simultaneously. We are connected to it by its simplicity. And because we have all asked, what the hell is this all for? It's often called strange. Ecclesiastes is honestly called queer very often. It asks these existential questions of life and death, good and evil, and the ways that we move through and experience these different ways of being with meaning and with purpose. So we travel with the writer to the depths of our own discontent of not knowing. And there is a lot of wisdom in this prose, and yet in the Christian tradition, we usually only hear about one particular section of Ecclesiastes. And it sounds like a Beatles song, but I promise you it's not. It's by the Birds. And the thing is, Liz brought this idea of using Ecclesiastes to our series this month, and I thank her for that, because the suggestion is really profound as the congregation wrestles with its own questions of what's next and who is this for. In Judaism, Ecclesiastes is usually read and studied during this time of year in the holiday of Sukkot. In the Christian tradition, this section of Ecclesiastes is called Take Life as It Comes. We have so many sayings for this. Easy Does It is one that comes to mind. One day at a time, if y'all are familiar with those kinds of slogans that are used often. And one that you might hear me say often is this: it's just church. Y'all have heard me. And you're laughing, yeah. It's just church. And you might be asking yourself, how does take it as it comes and it's just church mean the same thing? And the text I'm using this evening is filled with thoughts of nothingness in death, right? As a comparison to the complex comings and goings in a brain that is filled with life. The dead can no longer be consumed with love, hate, or envy. So often when I read these passages about, you know, how short life is, I get this like fire in my belly of like, carpe diem. I'm gonna live the heck out of life. Live for the most adventure that I could possibly find. But our author suggests that instead of searching for adventure, perhaps we just take the adventure as it comes. Ecclesiastes says, eat, drink, and be merry over and over again. I think it's like over seven times that it says it like over and over again. There are times when we are also called out for vanity over and over again as well. It says like all is vanity. It's all for show. Everything is for show. And I'm gonna let y'all in on a secret and why I say it's just church and why is it so often. It's because I wrestle with the existential crisis of the church and the toils of the church, its life and its death. I read these words and think about how the race is not swift for small progressive neighborhood churches. The riches certainly do not go to the intelligent, but time and chance do happen to them all. Churches do not always live forever. And honestly, praise God for that. The reason I say it's just church is because in our scripture, it says, yes, toil with your work that you're doing passionately, but these existential thoughts that you wrestle with, while totally normal, won't prevent you from death. For some reason, you know, as I was writing this sermon, I like to listen to a lot of music, but I kept listening to the Indigo Girls, Closer to Fine. And there's a brilliant line that says, "And the best thing you ever done for me is to help me take my life less seriously. It's only life after all. And the best thing the church has ever done for me is to show me that there are many ways to church. And I'm probably not going to break it by messing something up in a service or even saying something blasphemous in a sermon. And the thing is, neither is anyone else." In the song, they mentioned all the ways in which they have sought a single truth for some explanation, ultimately stating that the less they sought their source for a definitive answer, the closer they were to a place of peace with that. Church does not have to look a certain way. I say it all the time. We can look however it wants to look. And get ready to clutch your pearls. You don't need a Shruti. You don't need dinner. Here's a big one. You don't need someone who spent thousands of dollars on a degree to preside over communion. Church will still happen. It's still going to happen. There is nothing I or anyone else can do to stop something from happening here, whether that is good or bad. No special prayer, no magic words in a sermon or note I can sing, if I'm lucky, that will stop something from happening. And again, praise God for that. Church will still happen. Life will go on, even without us. The person who wrote Ecclesiastes was certainly well aware of that. And the author reminds us that God approved of what we do long ago, and that we are to enjoy ourselves with food, drink, and joy. I did not pick a question for us to discuss at dinner tonight because of the reverence to not seek any specific source for a definitive. And I think at St. Lydia's is a church where we practice eating, drinking, and being merry every Sunday. But it doesn't mean we do not toil with purpose. A reminder that both things can be true. We can be in this state of eating, drinking, and enjoying company and still toil with the purpose of church as it wrestles with its own fate, taking life as it comes. In a previous sermon, I suggested that we don't really know what's going to happen, and that can be a blessing. Taking it a step further, we have a purpose, right? To enjoy ourselves and together take life as it comes, because we all have that same fate. In Ecclesiastes, they're really open about it. We're gonna die. There's no getting out of it alive. And as the Indigo Girls might say, the less we toil with what the hell it is all about, the closer we are to fine. In other words, relax, eat, drink, and be merry. It's just church. If something comes up, take it as it comes. Amen? So friends, we share this sermon here at St. Lydia's. So we'll spend a few minutes in silent reflection. And then when you hear the bell, you're invited to share a story or experience that sparked from the sermon. And we share stories, not opinions or crosstalk, because Jesus told stories. Stories help us know one another better. So we'll begin in silence.